Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Warriors.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the official show for the month of September 2021. And we got some games to talk about. We got lots of cool stuff going on.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
We got a bunch of new releases that are worth discussing. Yes. One of them that's not worth discussing, but we're going to anyway because it's fun. And then we'll take
is
a look.
Is that the one that I'm discussing?
Yep. And we'll peer into the future a bit. We'll take a look at some games coming out in October. But no news, because I think we covered, you know, the important news when we talked about the Nintendo Direct. Everything else is just, you know, gossipy bullshit. No gossip or gossip.
Oh, come this on. Time you oh. said gossipy bullshit. I was all excited here.
There was a thing from Bloomberg today about, like, how, you know, certain developers were given dev kits for a 4K Switch, but it didn't turn out to be the one that they were making. Anyway, it was just like Bloomberg continuing to say, no, the Switch Pro was real. We weren't wrong. It's just Nintendo made a decision at the last minute not to make one.
Gospel. It's gospel. This is it.
Yeah, Yasler. Our bastion of truth, Bloomberg.
This time next year, we're going to have a 4K Switch. Yeah.
Anyway, so we're just going to talk about games. Next time, we'll do a gospel or gossip on the next show, even if I have to make some stuff up. Which I will.
Well, you're obliged to make stuff up for it.
Also, mostly the gossip stuff I don't make up. It's real rumors that are going around, but, you know, mostly bullshit. Hmm. But I'll make up some bullshit next time if we don't have any bullshit from other sources. I'll be the source. But let's talk about some games. There's two retail games that I want to get to before I kick it over to you guys. And that's WarioWare Get It Together.
Ah.
I played through this one. Me and Mika played through it entirely in co-op. That was pretty fun. I think the game is probably better when you're playing with multiple people.
It definitely looks like a party game. Not something that you just sit there and grind through by yourself.
Yeah, it definitely is. There is a story mode, quote-unquote, you know, where there's like cutscenes and like little animated scenes and stuff.
Where, what does that consist of? Is it just word like at everything? I don't.
It's like, I'm a Wario and I'm a gonna win.
Wario! Like, it's just that the entire time?
There are like grunts and stuff, but there's also like text dialogue where characters are talking to each other. But basically, like, the story mode is a way of unlocking multiple characters and doing so like in order. So, you know, you'll get to a new chapter of the story mode. It's like, oh, it's this character's chapter, and it's one of the characters you're compelled to have in your pool of characters that you choose from. So, or that kind of get rotated through. So when you're playing in story mode, 1 to 2 players, we play through the whole thing co-op, and as far as I can tell, it's really like the only like purely cooperative mode. Every other sort of mode in the game where you're playing through these mini games is more of a competitive thing, and you get to 4 players in some of those. But this is the story mode is 1 to 2 players, and you do the little micro game challenges. And what you end up doing is the more characters you unlock, the larger your pool of characters to select from. But every time you begin a chapter, you're like, okay, you got to pick 2 or 3 of these characters, you're compelled to take like the main character for this chapter. And when you do a little micro game, it will like basically spin the roulette wheel and just give you one of them. And you have to go through that micro game challenge with that character. So you have to like pick ones that are you're kind of familiar with their play style that you'll be able to adapt to quickly. And then just kind of deal with the one that you're compelled to take. And like some of them like do wildly different things. There are a couple of characters who kind of like jump around and like attack just by jumping. Wario can just kind of float everywhere with his jetpack and dash forward. There's a character who just kind of swims through the air as if he was swimming through water. There are characters that shoot projectiles. Some characters can only shoot projectiles in certain directions, left to right or right to left. There are characters that are forced to constantly move. Like they're constantly scrolling back and forth on the play field. So there's quite a few different play styles, and like some characters are better on certain areas than others. Ones that are constantly moving are a bit tougher to adjust to if you need to like do something really precise. But yeah, like a lot of like the micro games, like that's where the fun of the game comes, is like in the chaos, where you have to like interpret the instructions really quickly, and sometimes it's very vague and you'll fail the challenge without ever having known what you were supposed to do until like the thing rolls around the next time you can try again. Some challenges that come up, there's like a like boss fights in quotes, where you have to do something more specific, and it's usually a bit of a longer challenge, more of a mini game rather than a micro game. And those ones you have to complete in order to sort of clear the story chapter. Mm-hmm. And if you fail, you have to go back and do it again. And there's like an economy to it where, you know, completing a chapter will get you like 1,000 coins. But if you fail 4 challenges, you'll game over and you can buy back in for 100 coins. Really, we were never like at any sort of risk of failing out completely because we ran out of money. And I think the coins are also for some other things. You can buy like little trinkets and give them like as gifts to all the different characters, and that will like level them up, and leveling them up just allows you to make like aesthetic changes, like changes to their clothes and stuff. But Mika ended up getting really into this game. She's got it on her Switch. She got a little fuck you mouse. She got a little Switch Lite for her birthday, which she's been liking a lot. And she's been playing Wario on it, and she also just like went through my library of Switch games and just started like taking all of her favorites and putting them in her Switch, so she had the icon on there. She said she was installing them, and it was a funny way to phrase it because she understands that she still needs to put the card in there in order to play it, but she wanted to install them. She wanted to have the icons on her screen, so.
Nice.
I actually appreciate that. She's building a library.
Yes, she's too cute.
But yeah, I think, like, as you were saying, Wes, this is like a party situation type of game. If Mika wasn't playing with me, I don't know that I would have seen it through to the end.
Yeah, I mean, I played a little with you that one night. It definitely is pretty hectic. Like, it's just, it mostly was you completing the levels, and I'm going, I had no idea what happened.
Right.
Like, it's just, they flash through so quickly.
You're like, what were we supposed to do?
Like, yeah. Like after every round, I'm like, what just happened? And like, it just,
that's the whole idea, though. It's supposed to be like these short bursts where it's like literally like a word on a screen, or it's like pick his nose, or like right. Push the button, and it's just like this frantic screen.
Or just like you're just like hide, and then like a light will flash, and you need to be like under some cover.
Right.
What by the time it flashes. There are ones that are longer than others, like I mentioned, like the boss ones. And one of the more difficult ones that we had a tough time with was one where you had to raise and lower like this causeway bridge. And you had to raise the bridge like with each of you on one side of it, activating the thing to raise it when a ship was coming through. And you had to lower it when cars were going through. And, you know, Mika is 8. She's gonna have like the fine tuned.
How many people died in this level?
Here? Oh, so many people! It was a massacre.
Cars going right off the bridge.
We lost the challenge easily a good 8 or 9 times before we finally got it.
She knew what she was supposed to do.
She just like into the carnage of it.
Yeah.
maybe I wouldn't put that past her, but we did eventually get it. But you know, there was some tension there. We were side eyeing each other a little bit because she wasn't the one who was fucking up. Every time, a good, you know, 6 out of the 8 or 9 times, it was definitely her fault. But a couple of times it was my fault, and she's like, looked at me like, you messed that up. And I was like, shut up, I know. But yeah, it's a cool little party game. I don't think I have too much else to say about it. I would like the...
What was the sticker price on this one?
$49.99. $50.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. I like all the different character designs. It's got this really colorful lineup of kooky characters. And they kind of all exist within like the whole like WarioWare universe, which I think is like slightly different from like the Mushroom Kingdom universe. Like Wario's part of that as well, but he also exists as his own entity who's like this more like modern urban character who lives in a city, and he has his own like game company, and they make these games. That's sort of like the premise for why you're doing this. Like he's made a game and it's been corrupted, and you have to enter the game and clean out all the bugs.
Is Waluigi in this?
Waluigi is not in it. Waluigi does not feature in the WarioWare games that I'm aware of. So he's another one, like when Wario is in the Mushroom Kingdom, Waluigi shows up. But when he's in his own, doing his own Wario thing, Waluigi is not present. Even in some of the Wario platformers. Like, we play, like, Wario Land 3. I don't think Wario or Waluigi was invented by then. But,
Yeah, I mean, that could be, like, a Tyler Durden scenario as well, for all we know.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as Waluigi.
Waluigi could just be him acting out in some capacity.
Wouldn't that be messed up? Like, every time he's played tennis and was supposed to have Waluigi as a tennis partner, it was just a two-on-one situation.
And he's just that damn good.
Yeah. and the opponents can tell, but they're not going to say anything.
Yeah. They're going to let him work through this manifestation on his own. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So the other game that I wanted to bring up is another budget title, $39.99 for Cruisin' Blast.
Oh, God, why?
Oh, right, yeah, you were talking about this one. You're kind of big on this.
You guys, I like this game more than I should. Like, leading up to the release, I kept on saying...
Nothing wrong with dumb fun.
Like, there's no way this is good, right? And I'm not sure that it's good, but it's quick enough to where... And reward you with stuff fast enough to where I just, like, keep on going. Like, I've completed all of the main normal difficulty Grand Prix circuit type things. And I'm working on the hard mode ones. I've finished 2 out of the 6 hard mode circuits. I've unlocked almost every vehicle. There are 3 more little collectibles that I need to grab in order to unlock the final vehicle. And, like, I think that's the funnest thing is just racing as all the dumb shit you can race as. There's a fire truck. There's a little hovercraft airboat looking thing. There's a helicopter. There are, of course, a number of cars, a motorcycle, a police cruiser, a school bus, a double-decker bus, a triceratops, a unicorn, a hammerhead shark. And when you race as the hammerhead shark, you're just on there on the track with the rest of the cars, tail moving back and forth as if you were just swimming through the air.
Do they, like, things like the unicorn and the shark, do they have, like, a nitro boost as well?
They,
like,
do.
When you pull it, is there, like, a fire jet stream coming out of the things?
Yep, sure is.
That's fantastic.
Sure. And in addition to that, when you level up your vehicles, because all your vehicles will level up and their stats will improve, and basically when you get to level 5, everything's maxed out. Yep. Not that it makes a huge difference in the actual races, it doesn't. But when you get... all the way leveled up, you're able to, each level, you're able to add an additional, like, sort of a cosmetic piece. Like, first, when you get to level 2, you can put some neon lights on your vehicle or creature, whatever it may be. And so you get to, like, little glowy parts to your shark. And the next level up, you get to add a sort of, like, a booster detail. So on a car, you'll get, like, some jetpacks at the end. A different sort of detailing. So some color detailing, I think it is. The engines are the last thing that that you get to unlock as an aesthetic piece. Hmm. Like, for example, when you're racing as a unicorn, which is exactly what it sounds like. And, you know, you get the neon lights, so it gets some, like, neon lighting to its body and stuff. And then when you unlock the next step, it actually gets some wings. So you're racing, like, this unicorn Pegasus thing. And then when you unlock the third step, which is the engines, it just gets, like, little rocket boosters on its butt.
Oh, God.
Oh, the shark. The fucking shark. The hammerhead shark. You get the neon lights. And then the next thing you get is a laser beam on its head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
That's a nice reference.
Yeah, it sure is.
That's fantastic.
The game... that's the most appealing thing to me, just the sort of silliness of all of it. It never quite reaches the level of, like, Excitebots, because Excitebots...
had, like, mini games within the race and everything like that. Make a sandwich.
Exactly.
Get the soccer ball into the goal.
Exactly. There were, like, little miniature objectives that you could do throughout the race that kept things, like, really hectic and energetic. The races in Cruisin' Blast are all very short. Most of them are about a minute and a half or a minute 45, just under 2 minutes. And you're only ever doing, like, one round through the track. There's no map to the track. Some of these tracks, like, don't actually loop around. It just gets from point A to point B. And you don't ever, like, go around again. It's just one time through. Which, you know, it would be nice in some of these races if you got, like, a couple of laps to go through. Because there's little collectibles. There's golden keys that you find along the track, and getting those golden keys will unlock more vehicles for you. And sometimes you'll, like, miss one the first time around and you'll have to do the whole race over again. Like, you'll have to, like, start up the race again in order to go get it. So, and then, you know, some of the tracks, like, there are a good 3 or 4 tracks that are under a minute long. They are really, really quick. And those tracks especially, I was wanting to...
But there's, like, heats on those, right? Like, laps?
No.
No, this is just it. It's over in a minute.
Yep, over in a minute. There are no tracks have multiple laps. It's just go one time through.
Very cool.
And I think, like, in some ways, that works for the game, because if you go into like just like a time trial or like an exhibition race, you're able to go through and try to find your collectibles that way. You don't have to actually find your collectibles in like the main like single player Grand Prix mode of the game. So if you find one in like a time trial or just an exhibition race, it's collected. You have it. And the like, difficulty mode doesn't matter either. So you could like be trying to complete the circuits on your normal or hard difficulty level. But when you just want to go looking for collectibles, you can switch to just a single race on one track. Put it on easy mode so you don't really have to worry about other cars getting in your way and picking those up. But the difficulty, you know, this isn't a precision racer. You're doing things like you're hitting a lot of ramps and getting a lot of boosts, and you can like
backflips.
You're doing backflips or like tricks that you can do, and that's gonna like earn you extra cash, which you can use. Like some vehicles are unlocked with collectibles, others are unlocked with cash. All of your sort of detailing, your zany accoutrement require cash to unlock. So, you know, it is valuable to you know, do well in races, do things like tricks and drift and get lots of airtime to build up cash. But like the actual difficulty of it is just kind of knowing when to use your nitro boosts. And as you get to harder and harder difficulty levels, you know, you need to race a little bit better. You don't want to be crashing into things, because that is of course going to slow you down. But like the difficulty isn't going to be like how aggressive or how well your opponent's going to catch up to you. It's basically going to be like, if you're racing a normal difficulty level, you know, you're going to be aiming for this amount of time. Like you're going to hit like the lead cars at this certain point of the track. In hard difficulty mode, you're going to hit those lead cars, you know, a little bit further up the track. It seems like how it works out. So knowing when to use those boosts to pass those cars and get yourself a little bit of a lead going into the final stretch is the major difference between a normal and a hard mode that I've seen.
I just saw a video of the shark. It's just a straight shark. Yeah. I was expecting like a shark car.
No.
No, it's a straight shark.
Yeah. Yeah, and the unicorn is just a horse.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I remember they showed that off in the, I don't know if it was the director or some big Nintendo presentation about this game, but it was like, yeah, that was the clip that they used, was the unicorn flying into a building. Like, you were supposed to, like, one of those parts was, like, go through the glass windows and then drive through some office or something and then come out the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's pretty absurd. But that's, like, the kind of typical to the cruising formula.
You know? Right, right. It's an arcade racer. Like, this is an arcade series.
Which, by the way, tell the listener, did you buy the $39.99 Nintendo Switch Pack or the $9,599 arcade?
I got the Switch version.
Okay. Yeah. So you're kind of like a casual fan.
Right, right. I'm not hardcore into the cruising series enough
you're
to get a cabinet.
You're not going to spend $10,000 to get a cabinet.
I'm not.
Oh, my God. I didn't know. They made it. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. The actual like arcade cabinet has been out for a few years.
Oh, this isn't a new game.
No, this is a port of an arcade game.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I mean, it's not an amazing-looking game. I don't think it really needs to be.
I think it looks pretty good. I mean, it's very colorful. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of shit on these.
Yeah, and what they do to sort of, like, pad the content is, like, there's basically six tracks. And sometimes you are racing the track forward. Sometimes they flip it around. You're racing it backwards, kind of like a mirror mode. And then they have different, like, aesthetic effects that are going on. Sometimes they'll, like, fill up the tracks with dinosaurs. Sometimes it's UFOs. Sometimes, you know, there's a police pursuit, and they have extra cars in on the track that are police cruisers that were basically just trying to ram you into walls and stuff. So that's how they kind of build out these extra Grand Prix in order to give you more stuff to do. Which I think, you know, it's padding, but it's good that it's in there, because otherwise the game is super brief. The last thing I need to unlock is a tank. I've not done that yet, but I'll get it. I got 3 keys left to find, and then I'll have a tank.
Oh, Godspeed.
Yeah, and then I'll probably be done. Probably done with the game at that point.
Yeah, this is an 8.6 user review.
So, get out of here.
Yeah, so
that's solid.
People that bought it seem to be pretty thrilled with their purchase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mika really likes it, too. Ripley's played a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, you know, where they, you know, they like going, they like picking their car, and they like, you know, giving it a like a different color and adding some details to it.
There's a helicopter.
There's a helicopter, yeah.
My God.
Tangentially related to this, you know what kind of makes sense, but really doesn't if you think about it? Movie theaters typically have arcades.
They sure do.
You know?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what's the deal there? I mean, maybe I guess like, you get there early and you got time to kill before your movie?
Yeah, they got to have something to do, so you know.
You bail out on the movie if you're not enjoying it and go...
You go play Time Crisis.
Yeah. You know, they usually
got man, some kind of that Time Crisis with the pedal and everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's oh, classic. That's so good.
House of the Dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's actually an arcade bar out by the attractions that has a working cabinet for House of the Dead that you can just... You pay nice. Like $5 admission to get into the place and then you can play it all day if you want.
Hmm. What's that place called? Do you remember?
Player One.
Oh, that's yeah. right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Double decker car. That's pretty funny. Triceratops. Oh, my God.
I love the Triceratops. It's real good.
This is a street just running around. All right.
Yep. So, that's
crazy. Does he have a chainsaw on his head? I don't
know. I'm going to have to look. But I like this game. I think it's kind of cool. I don't really play a whole lot of racers, so I'm not really... I don't have, like, a touch point to compare it to. It is not Forza. This is not a simulation racer.
Right, right. It's an arcade racer.
Yeah, this is a goofy mess.
So,
I mean... You're not going to sit there and watch the gulling doors open on your Triceratops.
I'm not. So, Ryan.
Yes?
Let's hear about some Diablo.
Okay, yeah.
Diablo like, 2.
This totally snuck up on me. Like, I didn't realize that we were this close. I knew it was going to be released. I thought it was going to be late in 2021. But, Diablo 2 Resurrected is finally out. You know, like, I was literally playing the... I was originally, like, playing the game in, like, June. You know? So, I didn't... At any point have I ever stopped playing Diablo 2. It's just fun now playing this new version. And... They really knocked this one out of the park. It looks fucking fantastic.
Are you going to go back to the regular Diablo 2?
Yeah, I'll still play it some, for sure.
He still hasn't stopped playing.
Just
why would you go back to the regular one? This is a new, fancier looking version.
I mean, an appreciation of the art style. There are some quirks to it, some time I've invested in the game. I still think if you can still enjoy the original Diablo 2 for what it is. Again, like, what they've modernized, it's sort of like saying, you know, probably, like, I don't know, if they've probably done it with one of these Final Fantasy games where, like, there's Final Fantasy VII that you could play on, like, a PlayStation or something, right? And then didn't they just make a new one?
They remade it.
Would you never play Final Fantasy VII on a PlayStation ever again?
That's kind of a bad example because they are two drastically different games.
So if it was just Final Fantasy VII remade with different graphics, totally the same game as before. I probably wouldn't go back and play Final Fantasy VII, but Final Fantasy VII, original PlayStation 1, also has some very ugly moments to it.
Yeah, it does. It's hideous.
So, however...
Well, then I think maybe that's not a bad, maybe not a great comparison there.
If they remade Majora's Mask. We're going to be talking about Majora's Masks on the Retro Show.
Sure, yeah.
They remade Majora's Mask on 3DS. I would go back and play the original as well on N64.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, visuals aside, there are some differences between each game, but I think there is still a lot to appreciate about the N64 game versus the 3DS remake.
Yeah, I think that they have made a few very minor quality of life adjustments to the game that if you were not someone that's played thousands of hours like I have, you probably wouldn't even notice that they changed some things. For the most part, it is super, super faithful. They've just, I think... taken a game that is probably a bit challenging and a game that people probably don't want to go back 20 years and play just because it looks old. Like, I look at the low-res nature of it and sort of think of it as abstract paintings. Like, it's beautiful. The game is beautiful in its low-res pixel art. But I think there's an audience today that kind of expects something to be a little more modernized. And they did. They modernized it. It looks great. I mean, it certainly keeps up with all of the other ARPGs that have been ripping off Diablo all of these years. And my God, it is just the most infectious kind of gameplay there is. I love it. I've only made one character so far. I'm really not playing with anyone else.
Is he a wizard? You're playing a wizard?
No, I mean, there's no wizard. It's a sorceress.
My mistake. Oh my God. I'm sorry.
How dare you, sir?
Oh my God.
I'm actually starting with a paladin. I've always loved paladins, and I will probably respec at some point. But I'm going in with, like, this fanaticism and zeal. Fanaticism is an aura that increases your attack damage and speed and a host of other things. And Zeal is like a multi-hit move that happens really fast. So it's 5 quick hits. And I'm using a really cheap rune word with this attribute on it called Crushing Blow. It has a 25% chance to deal Crushing Blow, which removes an actual percentage of health. I think it's like 5% of the total health bar. Mm. It's just gone. So with Zeal hitting really, really fast, the thing could do 1 damage. And the fact that it has a 25% chance to trigger Crushing Blow, it's crushing, doing its thing. But the real thing that happened was my mercenary, I have an Act 2 mercenary, which has deals pole arms, and I was able to roll a 4-socket partisan. Not that you guys know what that means at all.
Yeah, this is just Greek to me.
I'm going to take a guess. Like it's a weapon.
Yes.
And you 4 sockets, which means you can apply like 4 different things, whatever it is, like sort of yep. like doing things like buffs or like skills or maybe something like that.
4 runes mm-hmm. specifically, which craft a rune word called Insight. And Insight is a very, very powerful rune word to equip to a pole arm, and they're required at pretty low levels. You'll get all the runes you need really early on in the game. So I'm basically giving him something that's really meant for an end game build. He's dealing like one of my hits, I think, does like 80 damage. Him with the partisan deals 900 damage. So I'm kind of just, I'm the mercenary, really. He's the thing that's going in and fucking everything up, and I'm just there being a paladin, just being an absolute tank. I literally just run right into the mob and let everything start hitting me while he's going around and doing his thing while I'm hitting Crushing Blow on the biggest boss there is in the pack. You know, it's absolutely nasty. Oh, and by the way, on my offhand, I have a staff that has charges of teleport. So I'm flying around the fucking map like a madman with this mercenary who just comes into the fray and just impales everything to death. Oh, it's... And again, this is nothing new. I've made this character a dozen times. Like, I know exactly what to do and how to play the game. So it's just really, really exciting. It's really fun. The graphics look fantastic. They did such a faithful job of bringing it back, not compromising any of the visuals or kind of whatever it is, the thing that makes Diablo Diablo. It's all still there. I think that anybody that has been hiding under a rock from this game for 20 years, oh my god, like... play this game. It's again, this makes a short list of all-time greatest games ever made, and it's Vicarious Visions. They're the ones that did this. They're the ones that did Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. They're the ones that did this, and they've done a fantastic job. So yeah, like real quick, if anyone wants to actually get into this, you know, there are certain things you should and shouldn't do. This game's kind of unforgiving in a lot of ways, and you can very easily mess up a build if you're not careful. Like, you can kind of...
What's a good building class for a starter, new person, picking this up for the first time? What would you recommend?
Brand new, if you've never played this game before, this is kind of a boring recommendation, but I think the summoner, an elemental druid, is the way to go. It does just a lot of damage, real easy. You have a lot of fire. By the way, there are rune words. I guess that's a thing to get into, is that there are runes you will collect. The 1 and 3 rune, which is the most common rune and the 3rd most common rune, Tier and L, 3-1, put those into a staff with 2 sockets and you will get +3 to all fire skills.
Hmm.
So you can be pumping hundreds and hundreds of damage at like level 17 with this, using moves like Fissure while you're giving yourself like hurricane attacks.
This game does sound much more like analytical and strategic than like Diablo 3, which I have played.
Yes,
I've played a lot of Diablo 3.
Diablo 3, the game starts when you hit level 70.
Yeah, like, that's they're, even then it's just me yeah. grinding out trying to get an armor set and then grinding out for higher levels of stuff. So, I mean,
oh yeah, yeah. Good news, you're not obsessed with armor sets or getting this exact item for this exact build. Sure, there are some really, really powerful items that exist out there, but I know, like, I'm using what would be considered a pretty garbage weapon. Like, I'm not using anything special. I've got a Dust Deep Helm, which is a unique, it's unique, that's cool, but it's not particularly great. I love it because it's got everything I want on it. I'm using Rock Fleece Armor. Like, I'm using gear that would be like, okay, that's pretty good for a level 20 character, but just works so well for what I'm doing. You know, yeah, you're never going to find yourself saying, like, I need this complete set. There's always ways to work around stuff. The rarest thing, like I said, when I got that partisan and I rolled it for 4 sockets, I was elated because I was like, this is a game changer moment. This is a normal item I found on the ground. And I just, I used my quest to get some sockets into it, and it rolled four, it could have been four or five. If it was five, things go into the dumpster. Like, I have no use for a five open socket partisan. I can't make a good rumor out of it. At least not at low level. I digress. I mean, you're asking me, what are some builds that people should start with?
Real quick, I like to, a really fun moment in games when you get something you weren't expecting, and like it just totally changes the way you're going to approach the game at that point. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's something really fun that happens, like, if you're playing with other people, because like you get the one thing and like everyone stop. The plans have changed, which is a great phrase to say anytime you can say it.
Oh yeah, like there are definitely some dream pieces for my guy. Like, it would have been cool to get something like a Butcher's Pupil, which is a cleaver, a unique cleaver that does a lot of damage. But
that's a Pokemon.
Is it?
Yeah, oh yeah, God, the dumbest thing. Oh yes. My God.
You know what? Fuck you. Fuck you, Wes.
This is fair. I mean,
it's pre-evolution is Scyther. It's a bug with scythes, and they call it Scyther. And then its other evolution is Scizor. It's got little clampy hands, and they call it Scizor.
Yeah. You know, like, what's funny is that Diablo has these things, too. So there's, like, they call them, like, Threshers, Battle Scythes. Because there's three different, you know, stacks of them. You have a normal, exceptional, and what is it?
How dare you sully the good name of a bug Pokemon? Yeah. How dare you?
You could have a Thresher Mon.
Which is funny. I hate bugs in real life. Oh, yeah. But bug Pokemon? Fucking awesome.
Who kills the bugs in this house? Your desk.
Me.
Oh.
I don't like them. That doesn't mean I like
them.
Don't
you think the cat would do that?
She's useless.
Really?
She contributes nothing to this household. Jeez. But you know what? Fuck Game Freak for not making a Heracross. Anyway. Yeah. Diablo 2.
I want to see you go through a Pokemon... Well, you have Shield. So Pokemon Shield bug type only Nuzlocke.
Cool. I'm down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know when I'm going to get to it, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say if you're a first-time player of the game, I would say avoid doing melee builds. So probably, unless you've got a good guide to follow you along, probably stay away from the Paladin, actually.
What classes are in this thing?
Oh, seven total. You've got the Paladin, Sorceress, Barbarian, Necromancer, Amazon, Druid, and Assassin. So those are your seven.
I would either be playing like an Assassin or a Necromancer.
Yeah, so I think Necromancer is one of the funnest and easiest builds, with a caveat. Boss battles can be really tough. They are perfect for just going into mobs of bad guys, and you know, you're using your corpse explosion to blow them up when they kill them, and if you don't need to blow them up, you just summon more bad guys, like, to join your whole army. You're also a great team player. Everyone loves it when there's a Necromancer around, because they're just absorbing all of the aggro. So you're really safe with one around. But most of the bosses are going to just... Like Diablo himself will just does this circular fire blast, and he will probably kill every single minion you have right then and there.
So how do you win that fight?
This is why it's difficult. One, you'll probably have a point into Iron Maiden. And get ready to just summon your Clay Golem over and over and over again. I mean literally hundreds of times. Where you'll have your Iron Maiden on... It's a curse. You'll have a curse on Diablo where whenever he deals damage, he'll take some of the damage. And then what are you doing? You're staying away from him and casting your Clay Golem, which only, I think, costs like 5 mana. It's really, really cheap mana expend. Right on top of him. So every time, he just takes swings. And it's only, you'll only have one point in both. But that means he'll probably take about 2 hits before he kills it, and then you summon another Clay Golem. And after about, I'm not kidding, 4 or 5 minutes of that, you will kill Diablo. And it's the same with, sadly, it's the same with Bale. Again, these boss fights for the Necromancer are tough. Everything else with the Necromancer is a cakewalk. So that's again why I hesitate to say him, and why I would recommend the Druid, because the Druid just gets to pump damage all over the map like he's fucking nothing. The Sorceress is probably the highest skill cap for a user.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really, really want to be good with the Sorceress, it's also most fragile, of course, so you really got to be careful with her, but man, she's also fucking wild. And she's got, like, if you were to make a list of, like, the 5 best skills, she's probably got two or three of them. You know, she's got teleport. She just gets teleport. Every character would kill to have teleport, because it just allows you to fly all around the maps. There is no... Another thing that makes this game great that other games get wrong, no cooldowns. Not a single fucking cooldown. Right, you just cast. You cast all you want, and there's even formulas that people calculate for how to do frame breaking on faster cast, because faster cast is an augmented ability, a skill that you can have on items, or sorry, attribute that you can have on items. So, you know, just because you tack on 30 faster cast rate doesn't really mean that's exactly 30% faster. What it means is you're going to be cutting down frames. And I believe this game runs at 27 frames a second. So it's all about knowing exactly what percentage you need to hit to carve down the frames. So ideally, you want, I think your teleport, you can have a teleport every 3 frames, I think, is at its absolute peak. It's at the absolute pinnacle of most fastest cast you can have, which just has you like a fucking lightning bolt just moving across maps, like just at insane speeds. But if you're not careful, right into packs of baddies that kill you. So again, this is one of those things where truly skilled players are very, very good with sorceresses. You may be frustrated and find yourself dying a lot if you're not careful with the sorceress. Yeah, and I would say absolutely stay the fuck away from barbarians. Barbarians are boring as hell to play. They're great, and they're fun to have in a team setting, I guess. You'd love to have somebody else be a barbarian. You don't want to be a barbarian. Just unless you've got tons of gear to funnel to this character, it's going to be rough sledding. Assassins are wonderful to play. Assassins can play without any gear. You can pretty much play them naked the entire game if you want. Same with sorceress, by the way. Same with necro. A lot of the caster classes can really get away without having the proper gearing. So yeah, I know that's a lot that I've said there. I would say, you know, assassin, sorceress, druid are really good classes to start with. Necro is fun, but if you hit some rough sledding with bosses, look up a tutorial, because that is tricky. That is really tricky. If you're not playing with a group, solo necro can be tough. And then, yeah, just don't even bother with barbarian. Once you're good with melee characters, paladin's going to be like your fucking daddy. The guy is for real. And then lastly is the Amazon. I like Amazons a lot, especially Javazons. Javazons are really, really tough. There's different... Of course, every class has multiple builds you can go through. And again, you might want to look that up just to make sure you're not fucking up a build, because every skill can have a cap of 20 skill points. So in theory, you could just take like 5 different skills and max them all out, and that's your whole build, which you really don't ever want to do. You kind of want to like distribute them into other things. Hmm. Like my paladin's going to be real straightforward. I'm maxing zeal, I'm maxing fanaticism, and I'm maxing holy shield. And with that, I got kind of what I need to get off the ground. I got 1 point into smite. I'm gonna get down a rabbit hole, and I'll need to go into that. I would just say, like, have some fun with it. Learn some of the basic rune words. There's an armor called Tal-Eth, which I believe is called Stealth. It's probably the best value item in the game. It's easy as fuck to build. You can literally go to one of the merchants in Act 1 and buy a 2 open socket chest piece, and then just throw a 7 and a 5, which is a Tal and an Eth, into that armor, and at level 17, you've got like 25% faster run walk, faster hit recovery. What I'm trying to think of what else it is, like, I think honestly it's like faster cast rate. It's just such a good piece. You can get, again, tier L into a staff, gets you that +3 to fire skills. Lots of different classes have fire skills, so very, very useful. You know, like, there are other pieces, like learning how belts work with the belts, and they have different potion spots for them. Learning how to use your run walk with stamina. That's such an archaic thing that nowadays, like, most people say you don't want to have stamina because it's just something that slows the player down. There's no upside to it. It's only a downside of slowing you down, but it's still worth it. Just have fun. Like, soak up the fucking game. Like, it is great. Oh. I guess I'll leave it at that. People really should get this game. It's not even like a AAA title or AAA price tag either. I want to say it's like $49 or something like that. So I'm playing it on PC, but it's cross compatible. I'm probably gonna get it for Switch, so totally worth it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Wes, another game that's totally worth it.
Oh God,
no, Nexomon.
Oh God,
go
God.
New to the Switch this month. I forget which day it came out, but it was earlier this month.
I didn't even know it was a new release at any point. I was flipping through the Switch store. I've been playing a ton of Pokemon. I was flipping through the store, I saw Nexomon. I'm like, this looks like Pokemon. And then let's see how bad this was. It was only $10.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much it was when I was on mobile, because apparently it was a mobile game. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, originally it was a mobile game.
So it's fucking, let's try this out. It's a fun train wreck. It's a fun train wreck because it's not a long game. It's not going to take much. I think if you really wanted to like fly through, you can get it done in like 8 hours. Like it's not going to be that bad to get through the game. There's just not a whole lot of depth when it comes to the actual battle and gameplay. It's typically hit them with the hardest move. If you don't have a move that's super effective against them, there's going to be a neutral move that's still going to do a ton of damage. And unless you... All right, let's start breaking it down, though. So when it comes to the actual Nexomon, there are different rarities. There's common, uncommon, rare, mega rare, and then you have your specials, which are like your starters. Unless it's a special or a mega rare, it's almost not even worth using. I mean, the rares are fine, but if it's like a common or uncommon, don't even bother using it because at the same level, mega rares will one-shot them. Mm. So it's just completely pointless. And when it comes down to the combat and everything, like any of your buffs, like your defense buffs or your evasion or any damage buff, it's almost pointless because most of the time you're two-shotting things, one or two-shotting everything. So it's pretty pointless to set that up unless it's like a trainer fight. There's going to be more in there. So when you were
showing us your team,
yes,
earlier tonight, and it was a bunch of like mega rares.
And yeah, it's a team of six mega rares, all of different types.
And you were just kind of going around grinding, getting fights with some commons, and they were all just cannon fodder. Yeah. It didn't matter.
I hit one ability, they die.
When you have like your trainer battles, are they also usually using common Pokemon?
Sometimes, but they do have rares and mega rares in there and everything like that. They have some specials. Trainer battles can be a little trickier because the way that the battle works, your guy always goes first. So speed's not a thing.
What does the speed stat mean then?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea what the speed stat means.
Good, brilliant there design.
Is a speed stat. Well, I don't know what it does.
Maybe they learned a lesson from Gen 1 and it's a critical hit.
It could be a crit thing.
That there's more
are there luck. Crit lines?
I don't... Yeah, there's crits. No. Crits. Everybody takes huge chunks of damage every hit, so it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter if you crit or not.
Like, you pretty much lose half your health every time you get hit, so it doesn't matter.
But they take the Gen 1 approach and your speed is just your luck stat.
Yeah, unless you're resistant to the type, it doesn't really matter what. You're going to take a huge chunk out of your health.
I don't mean to disrupt your flow, but I feel like I'm going to keep chiming in with questions. Like,
that's fine, Drew.
Are there health items? Do you have health items?
Nope.
Abilities?
There's moves.
Natures?
There's no natures. There's no... passive can ability. There's no abilities. You can't name them. You can't rename them at all.
Is it worth collecting like three of the same type to see if their stats are different?
I don't know. I haven't bothered doing that.
Mm-hmm. There's like EVs and IVs?
Probably. There's no EVs or IVs. There's no TMs. Pretty much whatever moves they learn, that's it.
Yeah.
It's very simplistic.
One thing I did notice that I thought was kind of a cool idea is when you were going through your different... Your monsters, your party members, you can access their skill tree, I think is what they call it, but it's basically like, here's all your moves that you have that you could put into a fight, and you could just swap out.
Yeah, you could just turn them on and off. You have four equipped at a time, and you can just toggle through whichever ones you want to use. Mm-hmm. So you can switch it around. Although, pretty much the ones you get later are going to be the ones you're going to be using. Mm-hmm.
Which they're kind of getting to that point with Pokemon, with you just now going to any Pokemon Center in Sword and Shield and remember old moves.
Yeah, which is really nice when you got stuff like Raichu or I'm going a ghost run on Pokemon
never,
right now.
Never heard of it. What's a Raichu?
Yeah, he doesn't sound like Game Freak.
No, but the second I got a Frostlass, I just went to a Pokemon Center and just taught all these great moves because it just doesn't fucking matter. I mean, it's
the first thing you do when you catch a Pokemon in Sword Shield is, okay, let's give it its real moveset right now.
Let's fix this.
Let me see all my TRs and TMs, and let's go remember some moves and change everything.
No, but there are types and there are type alignments. Some of them are kind of weird, like Rock is weak to air.
Hmm. Because there's only, six or eight types, something like that?
There's six. I don't know if there's any more types. I saw stuff online... think there may be two more types, but I'm only ever seeing six.
Your moves have a type association as well, right?
Yes, they do. So
would like an electric one maybe ever learn a fire move, or are you pretty much set?
Yeah, like for instance, I have a wind horse thing, and it has an electric move and it has some air moves.
Okay, so you can get some different type coverage. Yeah,
you can do that with a couple. Like my My electric type is a bird, so it has some flying moves with its electric.
Is there like a same type attack bonus?
I don't know. I mean, again, everything's taking two shots, one or two shots, so I mean, you can't really...
That's fair.
Talking too much, my throat's getting dry.
All good.
You know what I found out? And do you guys play Sword and Shield a lot, right?
Yeah.
Have you guys been doing those Dynamax raids where you got to do like four battles in a row and then you get a legendary? Or a chance at a legendary? Did you know that there's actually a 1 in 100 chance for anything you catch to be a shiny? It has one of the best shiny odds in the games.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, like I actually was playing through it the other day and I got a shiny Obstagoon. I was very excited about that. But yeah, apparently anything, no matter what it is, as long as you catch them all, like you just catch it just to check. You know, you got like a 1 in 20 chance of getting a shiny out of it.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
It just sucks if like there's a normal dinky thing that's a shiny and then you catch the legendary anyways.
I churned through a lot of those when I was building a team. It's because one of the prizes that you can get for turning in like things like ore or something that you get when you clear these things.
Yeah.
One of the prizes is something that will give a Pokemon a hidden ability.
Yeah, it costs 200 of those too.
It costs a ton.
I did,
but I really wanted that hidden ability. I don't even remember what. I think it was I was trying to give like guts to a Luxray, so I could hold a flame orb.
I had a shiny Absol, and I wanted to get it with super luck.
Yep.
So I did that.
Yep.
It was worth it.
If you don't have it with super luck, you might as well just trash it.
Yeah.
You gotta have that super luck.
Yep. Any rate.
Yeah. So Nexomon.
Yeah.
An interesting thing is when it comes to catching them.
That's subjective.
When it comes to catching them, you got your regular Nexo trap. God, it's so dumb. All this is so dumb.
Use Pokemon terms? This is all so derivative.
It's a huge ripoff of Pokemon. It looks like Pokemon. The art style,
like a garbage mobile version of it.
Pokemon Center, the Nexomon Center or whatever, has the exact same layout.
Oh yeah, nurse right in front behind a counter, PC to the right. It's exactly the same as that.
There's
And you know, I was curious about it before, but now I'm 100% convinced that this is why they changed the position of the PC in Sword and Shield. So I was always on the right, and Sword and Shield is on the left, and it's because of fucking Nexomon.
Nexomon ruined that for it.
So yeah, like they released this mobile game, I think it was like 2017 or 2018, and Game Freak was like, oh no, we're not doing that anymore.
Like, I'm playing this game, I'm sitting here like, how is this game not sued? This is clearly... How did they get away with this?
The Pokemon Company lawyers not catch wind of this one.
It's probably laying on their radar.
I mean, they tear apart any fan base ones made online, and they gotta take them down. Like, what was some of those ones you were playing?
Oh, like Uranium.
Uranium and everything. They tear them up. We can't have this online. It's free to play. But because they're charging a couple bucks for Nexomon, it's fine.
Well, if you kind of get into the legalese of it, this is probably, like, distinct enough because they're not using the name Pokemon and they're not using any Pokemon character models or designs that these fan games will sometimes use. But this, like you're saying, Nexomon, this is a pretty blatant ripoff of just the overall, like, design philosophy of Pokemon games.
Even some of the Nexomon look exactly like fucking Pokemon. Like, it's insane. Like, what was that? We just came across an encounter just a little bit ago when I was showing you this. It was some pink thing, but it looked like a pink version of the second form of the Fire Pig starter.
Kembor?
Yeah.
Pig Knight
would be the middle one, yeah.
Yeah, Pig Knight. It looks like a pink version of Pig Knight. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is a blatant ripoff.
It's a shiny. Like,
it's so painful. Not that Metacritic is the end-all be-all of anything, but Nexomon, believe it or not, from 72 ratings from fans, has an 8.5.
Okay.
It feels very astroturfed, frankly, from reading these reviews.
Yeah, it's nice that all their family members are reviewing the game for them.
But here's why Game Freak doesn't care. 72 reviews versus Pokemon Shield has a 4.6 on 3,000 reviews.
Mm.
Right? So that's like however many more times popular, right? It's not even like they need to be worrying about this company. This company makes fucking nothing, and Pokemon is the largest like media franchise in the world.
Yeah, probably the largest video game franchise in the world as well. Excluding maybe Fortnite and Minecraft.
Right. They are the horse with the tail trying to get flies off their ass. Mm. If they're really spending any significant time worrying about this game Nexomon. Like, it's cool if these guys carved out a little niche for themselves and, you know, like, whatever.
And in general, they kind of went about it the right way. They didn't just blatantly take character designs, except for maybe the pig, and
import them. You're right. Like, I mean, you know, you can make a brown soda, and Coca-Cola can't sue you for that.
Mm.
Like, Pepsi exists, made a nearly identical product, right? It's the same deal. Like, these Nexomon is a monster collecting game. Right,
it's a Blaine ripoff.
Like, but this, it is, yeah, it is bluntly without original ideas.
Yeah, you can make a brown colored carbonated cola drink, call it whatever you want, and you know no one can come after you. Or you can be true innovators like the people at PepsiCo and make a clear cola.
That shit's good, by the way. Crystal Pepsi was for real. They brought it back a few years ago.
I remember you told the story before.
I'm sorry to retread. Then we'll stop.
No, go.
No, hear the story again. I can't remember it.
No, this is great. Like, so this was actually at a Target out in Lake Mary. This was pre-pandemic, of course. But like, I just went in there one day on my break because every once in a while I got some time to kill, so I'll go there and buy some shit. And they had this giant display case of Crystal Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck, yes, Crystal Pepsi. So I bought, like, a bunch. And I took it home and I drank it. And then, like, this was maybe two or three weeks later. I went back to the same one and there weren't any on the display case. And I was like, okay, fine. So I went into the aisle where the sodas are and there weren't any. So I just, like, grabbed, like, one of the people that was working there. And I was just like, hey, man, you know, like, you had Crystal Pepsi out there and I don't see anymore. And their face was devastated when they were like, we're out. We don't have any more. We're not getting any more. He was as disappointed as I was.
It's gone.
We were both clearly like, Crystal Pepsi is the superior soda. So I don't know why they don't bring it back.
You got this kindred spirit.
It's so good. I don't even know what it is.
For a second there, I thought that story was going a different route. You're like, yeah, I drank all of it. And then 2 weeks later, I went blind in one eye. Like, I was expecting something extreme like that.
I mean, I left out the part where we jerked each other off in the bathroom, but I think I captured the...
Why would you bury the lead like that? Speaking of being at a Target, last I was at a Target the other day. I was buying Mika her birthday presents. And while I was there, I also I noticed that they had a physical copy of Cruise and Blast, which Amazon did not have, proving that Target is superior.
Yeah. God. All
and
right.
They had a copy of it, so I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to get Cruise and Blast while I'm there. And the guy who was working in that department today, his name tag on, his name was Tom, and I was always like, hey, are you Wes's friend? But I was like, no, I'm not going
to. What Target did you go to?
I went to the one in, just up the street from me.
Oh, yeah, Castleberry.
Yeah, I didn't go to the Oviedo one.
I was about to say, you dirtbag, you going to a different Target than mine?
Which one do you work at? You don't work at the one I work at.
Oviedo.
Oh, okay. Because I go to the Castleberry one every once in a while.
Mm.
You son of a bitch.
You're driving all the way out to the Oviedo one? Like, it's right there.
I mean, there's one that's like less than a mile from my house, and I just go to the one in Castleberry.
Targets are different from like some other retail chains where like you go in there and you kind of know where the general layout is. I can go to like my Target and I know where everything is, but then I'll walk into a different Target. It's like, no, this is like being on an alien spaceship. I don't know the layout of this one.
Yeah.
I need to leave.
All I know is whatever I feel like I need, it always sends me through like the women's clothing and I feel so out of place. I'm like,
right.
What the hell? I've been buying ammunition.
Right. I need to fill out my John Popper's toolkit, and it's sending me through the hosiery, and I feel like a creep walking through there.
Yeah, our Target's weird. Like, they have lingerie right next to the main fucking aisle going through the store. I always feel like a pervert. Like, I feel like I should walk around to get to a
I'll go the long way. Every day. I'll go the long way so no one thinks I'm creeping on them.
I really should.
But then that way leads right by the women's restroom and I have to stand outside for a few minutes.
And then, like, one day I did, like, a what they call an OPU shift, order pickup shift, where you collect orders for drive-up orders and stuff like that. And I'm just standing in lingerie for like 15 minutes. Like, I can't find this fucking bra for this order.
Just, I need to make sure.
Well, you've got the uniform.
Just like point out like the name tag to everyone. Is there? It's okay.
It's okay. I'm supposed to be here.
It's my job to creep on you right now.
That would be great if one of your coworkers just came up to you and be like, sir, we talked about this. You have to leave.
Oh, I want to do that at work now so badly.
I don't know where you got that name tag, but
he's not coming back. His women's clothes will not help you.
All right, wait, where were we talking about fucking nuts? The target, 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 For our own, can I get this copy of Cruise and Blast? And he's like, he like had this look on his face, like, fucking really? And he's like, this one down here? Like, yeah, that one. He's like, that's an interesting choice. And I said, I know. And then we got up and I was paying for it. He's like, so is this a gift? And I was like, well, the Switch is a gift, as well as like the case and the little doll and the scooter. That's all a gift. But Cruise and Blast is for me. I dare you to fucking say something.
Is he trying to game shame you? I mean, holy hell.
I mean, maybe. Like, it was fine. Like, he wasn't, like, being mean about it. Then we, like, he tried to have a conversation. Like, oh, so what's your favorite Switch game? And I was like, oh, it's probably Zelda or Fire Emblem. And he's like, oh, okay. I didn't ask him his, which is probably rude. I could have made a friend.
Oh, shit.
But, no, I chose that I wanted to leave rather than talk about video games.
Every single time I had another moment of this. The guy who bought a Switch for the very first time, he came in to buy some more games for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, I just got the Switch, I'm playing games. Do you got anything you would recommend or anything like that? Like, what kind of games do you play? Like, he's asking me to get, you know, ideas about what games you should play.
Just like say really angrily, I hate video games.
I gave him a couple of recommendations, but every single time I hear somebody has a brand new Switch, I'm like, also go onto the eShop and grab yourself Celeste.
Mm.
That is a joy, and it's just grab it.
And now you can recommend Nexomon.
God.
And we've brought it back around.
It's got a fun story. You can't take it seriously. And it's very, like, it has one of those self-aware stories. Like, man, if that person died, we had to up the rating of this video game. Like, you know, shit like that. It's kind of funny. It's got Power Rangers in it for some fucking reason. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. It's a dumb game. It doesn't take long to play. I don't think it's worth the $10 it is.
I noticed that there was a Pokedex of sorts, but like
it only shows ones you've seen or caught.
Right. So like it kind of gave you a total right up front at the menu. Like you've seen or caught like 41 out of 310, but then it wouldn't like show you, like you would get like the full pages. It just like has your list of what you've seen and the icon of what you caught. And it wouldn't even show you, like, there are, like, gaps in between if, like, something could still evolve or something like that.
Yeah. They show you absolutely... They're not even numbers. So you can't even, like, assume from the numbers. Mm. Like, there's just very little information. And in order to look at moves and stats, those are two different things you need to get to. You can't just toggle through them like that.
Which is annoying. Like, I love when Pokemon games give you the sort of checklist to check off. Like, and the more... I guess a gradient they are, the better. Like fucking Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, like when they just give you like the achievement medals for catching everything on a certain route, and they do a similar thing in Black 2, White 2, it's fucking great. Like I will like go around and crawl in the tall grass looking for a fucking Ralts, just so I can fill out the list of that particular route.
It's fine, I guess. It's a pretty bland ripoff.
There is a DLC, apparently.
Oh
my god.
Like a season pass, maybe?
They just, this is news from 9 hours ago, they just announced the upcoming Extinction DLC, which will be free.
Very cool.
So there's that. There are shinies in this game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Alright.
The fact shinies. That they call them shinies, though, they should be sued.
So, speaking of some DLC, there were two new courses added to Mario Golf Super Rush, which I played through, and they were both very cool. Unlike New Donk City, these are like larger courses. The cool thing about New Donk City, though, I thought would have been really cool is like how compact it is, and it would have been cool if like you just access any goal that you wanted to at one time. But there's two courses that just uploaded earlier this week. One of them is kind of like this frozen area, and it's an interesting layout because rather than it like being like a golf course, like you traditionally think of, you like your different fairways, and that fairway is going to lead to the hole, and then you're going to go switch to a different place where you're going to tee off. There's a different fairway. This is like one big sort of arena type area, and there's like fairway and rough throughout the whole thing. and as well as other obstacles. But basically, like, you're going to tee off on one side, and usually you're going to try to hit it across to the other side, and you have to kind of plan out your own route for where you're going to hit it to try to get it to like maybe a fairway that's off to the left or to the right, whatever's going to give you the best chance, you know, of getting as far under par as you can, depending on the wind and what obstacles are in your way, because it's never just going to be able to be a straight shot. And if you're playing 18 holes, there are a ton of them that like crisscross with each other because it's all just one big arena, and there's also some that are fairly short. Like, you're going to like be able to get to the hole with a wedge. It's like in a par three. And then the other one is another fairly large course, but it's more traditional, where, you know, you have your tee off point and the fairway, and some will crisscross with each other, but not as many as the frozen one. But both of them are very cool. Two new characters as well. There's Koopa Troopa, so we are one step closer to getting Dry Bones. He's going to be there at some point. And then Ninji, who is that, he's from like Super Mario 2 USA.
I feel like that's something we shouldn't say.
It's close.
So what about the dino guy from the lava? When is that a playable
character? Oh, that would be amazing.
You know?
That'd be really, really good.
That would be nice.
Him and Dry Bones. There's going to be like another lava course at some point, and that's when they introduce the two of them.
Because
I swear to God, if they do Dry Bowser before they do Dry Bones, I'm going to be very upset. Because I don't know that they confirmed that there's still more coming, but they didn't say these are the last ones, so we can hope. But no, they've added, out of the six original courses, they've now added three courses, so that's like a 50% bump in content for no cost.
It'd be cool to get like a pink piranha plant.
That'd be cool too, yeah. A Goomba tower, like just a stack of Goombas, like they did for that Dr. Mario game on mobile phones.
But how would they swing? Just one of them has the club in his mouth?
Oh, who cares? There's a ghost that swings a club.
That's fair.
How does it grip anything?
Bullet Bill? That'd be fun.
That would be really funny.
Just Bullet Bill.
Or like the cactus, Pokey. Anyway, the other game, the last game that I want to talk about for the new releases here is Eastward. It is a game that came out earlier this month. I finished it earlier today. It is done. And it's really cool. I highly recommend this one. A really good game. When it was pitched and sort of given the trailers and stuff, I thought it looked a lot like a Zelda game. In that, you know, you kind of go dungeon crawling and get new equipment and then leave and go to a new dungeon. And it's not really structured like that. This is a game that's more on a strict, like, narrative-based progression system. You start off in one area, you're going to go through a Zelda-style dungeon in that area, usually, and get a new weapon or a new skill that's going to help you get to the end of that one. But usually when you're done with a chapter in the game, it's chapter-based, usually when you're done with a chapter, you're going to move on to another area and you're not going to be able to backtrack. And there are things that you can miss. There are like treasure chests that you can open up that will give you like gear that you can use to upgrade your equipment. So there is a chance that you're not gonna like upgrade everything to its max level by the time you're at the end of the game. They do kind of give you a way to track. It gives you like a radar to track if treasure is nearby. You don't get that immediately at the beginning of the game. So suffice it to say, there's stuff that you will probably miss. So if you're going for 100% here, then you'll probably want to consult a guide early on to make sure that you're getting everything that you want to get. It's not a difficult game, so there's no real reason to, like, you're not going to be faced with a challenge that's insurmountable if you're not totally upgrading everything that you get. So
it seems like it's got some really nice environments.
Oh yeah, it's a really nice looking game.
Pixel art.
Yeah, the pixel art is really, really good in this game, and all of the environments are very like well decorated. Like, it's very aesthetically pleasing because it's very like cluttered without ever really being too busy. There were only a couple of times that stand out in my memory to where like the visual style was getting in the way of being able to see where we're supposed to go next. There were a couple of times where like there was so much going on the screen that I missed, like, there was an exit door that I was supposed to go through, so I got a little bit lost at a couple of points. But the core of the gameplay is going through these dungeons, and you're playing as two characters. You got John, best name character ever, spelled it wrong though, and Sam. And what you do is you kind of swap between the two. And Sam is dealing with a lot of like projectile. Her main course of action is just launching a projectile. She can also charge it up for more power. But it's not really doing damage. It's more stunning enemies. And it's used to clear certain obstacles as well. Most of your action is going to be done with the John character. He's got all your different weapons. Like he's got a frying pan and a gun and a flamethrower. And he gets some bombs. And those are, you know, you're using to engage in combat, clear obstacles out of the way. There are certain obstacles that will be cleared with bombs or flamethrowers, so on and so forth. And for the most part, most of the skills that you acquire are good from the time that you get them until the time you finish the game. In particular, like the flamethrower, as cool a weapon as it is, it's kind of only useful for the one section of the game where you get it. And after that, it's not really necessary for any puzzle solving at that point. Which is kind of a shame, but in general, the sort of puzzles that you have to work through are all really smart. There are a couple of puzzles where you have to like separate your characters and each kind of work through their different half of the dungeon, like kind of tag back and forth between each other as you're clearing a route for the other one. And those are all really fun and smartly designed. There's a bunch of really cool boss fights. Again, none of them are super difficult, but they all... there's a sort of a process that you have to figure out to how you're going to expose their weak points and do damage and that sort of thing. There were some small technical issues in one of the boss fights in particular where the frame rate dropped very, very low. So there's quite a bit of slowdown, which is unfortunate. But overall, the game ran very smoothly, didn't really encounter any crashes or bugs other than the one point of slowdown. And really, that was the only point of slowdown that I can remember encountering. There's a narrative in there, if that's the sort of thing you care about. There's a lot of talking. There are stretches of the game where it's very narrative heavy, where you have to go through, it's kind of like chasing your narrative points back and forth. And for a good like 30, 45 minutes, you have to go and like, okay, now go talk to this person. Okay, now work your way through this town and go talk to that person. So those were parts that, I was obviously trying to get through very quickly. There's also this this Game Boy style RPG within the game that is fully playable, and you can get some like achievements by working your way through. And I didn't ever really dig too deep into it. There are I don't know if there's any bonuses that you get from completing the thing and getting the highest possible score. But basically, it's this little RPG where you essentially have a timer. And you have to, by the time the timer is expired, you automatically face the final boss. And you have to try to beat that final boss with however your characters are leveled up and equipped to that point.
Oh, interesting.
But there's more content than you are able to see at the beginning, like throughout that little game, than you'll be able to get to by the time your timer expires. So what it does is, you know, you go through as much as you can, you get to the boss when the timer expires, you win or you lose, but then you're able to start the game again. And when that happened, I thought that I was carrying over like the levels that I had gained and stuff, but that's not the case. But what does carry over is any characters you recruit. So you do get some party building going on, but then you have to, you know, go around and re-equip everybody and maybe try to get to a different area to see if you can level up a little bit faster. I checked out a few guides about that little game, that little, I forget the name of it, but this game within a game. And a lot of them were saying like, oh yeah, just grind as much as you can and try to find this equipment to be able to beat the boss. I don't know. I think it would have been a much more enjoyable experience if like your levels carried over as well. Because I didn't like starting over at zero. Hmm. That's kind of the reason I never went back to it. And plus, it was never necessary to go back to it. So, but you know, it's overall a very brisk game. Clocked in at just over 20 hours. And after I beat the final boss. And I really like the dungeons. Like, The dungeon design, the puzzle solving, the tagging back and forth between the two characters, just top notch. Really, really good. So, highly recommended. There's one last game that comes out in September. It actually comes out tomorrow, time of recording. It is called Astria Ascending. It's a little RPG that's been featured in a couple of Nintendo Directs. I'm probably going to pick that one up since I'm done with Eastward, so I'll report back that on that one during the mini show.
Very cool.
Any other new releases we need to address here?
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
There's a new release movie that I think at least a couple of us have seen.
I went to the movie theater.
Oh, yeah? Which one did you see?
Friday the 13th from, like, 1981.
Oh, okay.
It was a throwback. They were doing a throwback features.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I watched that, and then I watched part two on a friend's. They had it on their Plex account, so I was nice. Able to watch both of them.
So what movie are you talking about?
Malignant.
I did see that one too.
Yeah, new in theaters this month. Malignant. It's a horror movie. What was it? Was it James Wan?
Yeah, James Wan made it.
You might recognize him from Saw. Yeah.
Yeah, he made the very first Saw film, only the first Saw film, mm-hmm. as I recall. And then he went on to make Insidious. Right. And I'm trying.
Well, Sinister, was that the other one? Did he do that one?
I think Sinister is what it was called. There was like a whole series of them that he made. But yeah, he kind of went away from doing gory stuff to doing more like haunted house stuff. Well, and the haunted house stuff admittedly did have some gory bits in it here and there, but for the most part, yeah, he kind of decided to go more of a spooky route.
And I think that that holds true in this one as well. There are some moments of you know, people being tortured. But I don't think it was
I mean, it's a bit gruesome at times. Like, it certainly is. It's a
yeah.
Some parts of it are kind of bloodbath film.
And you do get you do get some body horror in there as well.
Yes.
So you get a bunch of different types of gore.
Oh, with Conjuring, that was what he did.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So what's Malignant about?
Oh, do you want to give? I don't think you don't want to spoil anything, right?
Right.
Because part of this movie is this. The insanity of its punchline ending.
Right.
But essentially what it's about is a woman who is now older is was raised in foster care and was experimented on through some kind of weird research project.
You're not quite sure why until you get to like that punchline you're talking about. Yeah. But she is like at the very beginning she's attacked in her home. Her husband is killed. He's a very abusive husband. Like, their relationship was super toxic, so she's better off without him. But then, like, she starts to have, like, these sort of hallucinations or manifestations of other murders happening. And there's this creepy, sort of malformed person or creature who is committing these murders that she is witnessing. And when she witnesses them, she's sort of paralyzed. She's powerless to do anything about them.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like establishing like this psychic connection that she has with this killer for some reason.
Yeah.
And the movie, like the sort of actions around the movie revolve around, you know, why, like who is this person? How do we catch them?
Yeah, yeah. And all of this is admittedly very on, and I think that's maybe why the twist ending that you get is such a surprise, is because everything else leading up to that is very on brand for James Wan, who makes a lot of supernatural films that deal with, you know, ghosts and things like that. So it doesn't seem too strange to see where this is going. I guess the thing that I think about James Wan and all of his other films is that, like, Saw is a straight film. It plays it really straight. I know the later Saw films that he's not involved in become camp and become comedies, essentially, with gore. Really, really, like, just...
Yeah, it's how can effort.
You, really, really twisted comedies.
Yeah, like, how can you mangle a human body for our delight? Mm. You know, that kind of thing. But, like, when he's making things like The Conjuring and Insidious, all of these, again, are straightforward spook house films. Like, that's what he wants to do. This is the first time I feel like this movie went, like, Sam Raimi levels of just zany.
Mm.
This movie is fucking camp and, like, zany out the ass. It's, I don't know, it's great. What did you think of it, honestly? Like, what's your opinion of it?
I think it's worth a watch. I think, Well, without treading into too much spoiler territory, I think that, you know, the title makes a lot of sense when you finally get to a certain point in the movie. I think the sort of like character growth and like how she finds her true family by the end with this sort of adopted sister, or she's the one who's adopted. But I think that was like weirdly forced. Like, I don't think it was necessary to try to like pin that button on it. Like, hey, now you have that connection you've wanted your entire life because it's the family you chose, not, you know, that blood connection you've been looking for the whole time.
I like that. That's a message.
Yeah. Why did this movie need a message? Yeah. Like, I don't know. It just, like, felt like this weird dialogue exchange at the end. Like, yeah, okay. I mean, I guess, like, it makes sense. But that's not what we're here for.
I mean, there's just a million funny things to love about. Like, you know how, like, whenever we bring up detective movies, I talk about how Paradise Killer has a double jump?
Right.
Like, this is a ghost movie with a parkour sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's just so much insane shit that happens. Like, there's this part, like, probably in the first third, they're setting things up, and I'm like, okay, James Wan, you better pay this off.
Hmm.
And then maybe at the halfway point, he's added even more stuff while not explaining anything yet.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, what are you doing? And then kind of, it's about maybe the two-thirds of the way through, I'm like, don't explain anything. At this point, this does not need to make any fucking sense. Just keep going. Just keep doing what you're doing. I totally bought into this movie. I loved it. It's just, again, it's very much, it reminds me so much of like Sam Raimi's old movies, like Evil Dead. Mm. You know, this is just fucking out there. Yeah, and it's so gross.
All right, off air, you guys had to break this down for me.
Okay. Other things that are out there. Wes, have you watched any of Doom Patrol?
I haven't. I've been letting it build up a bit because I want to binge it.
All right, that's right. Because they released three episodes and now apparently they're going to be weekly every Thursday, which, oh no, this is like broadcast television. Don't do this to me.
I just want the whole thing out. I just want to binge through all this so much. Is it good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the fun thing about Doom Patrol is they always give like each character their own situation, their own like shitty struggle that they got to go through. And season three, again, it's not like, it's not doing like, some TV shows kind of fall into the trap, like, hey, it's kind of serialized, so, you know, season one and two had, like, their own story arcs, season three needs to have its own story arc, but a lot of TV shows, like, have to go, like, okay, now we gotta up the stakes, now things gotta get even bigger. And Doom Patrol has not yet fallen into that trap where...
I hope not. It's just always been, what the fuck is happening right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the robot man.
Cliff.
Cliff, yeah. In the comic, yeah.
Cliff's the
Cliff is essentially the guy in the show that's us.
Because
He's just like, what the fuck? Like, that's just what you're saying the entire time, is what the fuck?
Yeah, he's the guy stuck in the comic book that's never read a comic book before.
Everybody else is, like, more fun with this, and he's just the guy like, what the fuck? Like, it's just... Every time Brendan Fraser says, what the fuck, I'm just ecstatic about it.
So, like...
That's the actor saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So every day, that's his catchphrase. So,
like, side note. Bedazzled came out October of 2000.
That's good. It's true. Just,
What the fuck is now Brendan Fraser's catchphrase, like, wow is for Owen Wilson? It's officially, I'm declaring it, this is your catchphrase, is what the fuck.
So, every character, again, in season three, has their own new sort of internal conflict that they have to deal with. They're like separate from the rest of the group. And... it's not something to where, like, now it's, like, an even crazier problem. It's given, like, something different that they have to deal with. And
it's such, like, human shit, too. Like, it's just, you can relate to all these guys, kind of, in a, no, you can't.
Well, you
that
know,
was
like,
a dumb statement. But you feel like you can.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, they have these powers or abilities or invulnerabilities, but they're not... the type of people who would be like, okay, well, now we have to use these things. Like, none of them actually want any sort of power.
Yeah.
Except for Cyborg, which makes him such an interesting character because he's the one who's always trying to, like, have them, you know, become this cohesive group of crime fighters, of people who are going to do things for good. And the rest are like, no, we don't want to do that. You go do that. Why are you here?
He does feel very out of place out of all of them.
Right, because he's the only one who's capable. But... much like the other characters, he always has his own like shit to deal with, and he's always
he's the
like
the only one that's capable. He's the one that fucks up the guy.
Right.
He's the most useless out of the bunch.
Just like the rest of them, he is always in his own way.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not going to get into any sort of spoilers, but they all do have new different things to deal with, but it's not like and now they have to prevent nuclear war or anything like that. Also, they do what smart comics do, because, you know, comic books go on for so long. Characters just kind of gradually get more powerful till they reach a certain point where, like, okay, well, now they're just these unstoppable people. So good comic books will find ways to depower. You saw this a lot with Chris Claremont writing X-Men.
Are they depowering? Because nobody's really gotten more powerful. Everybody's exactly the same as they were at day one. Figuring out how to use it.
Like, that's part of getting more powerful. Like, Rita in season two was learning how to control her blobby stretchiness.
Yeah, she's Elastigirl.
Yeah. And, oh God. Negative Spirit.
Yeah.
What is his name?
Negative Man.
Yeah.
Larry?
Larry.
The actual name, yeah.
Yeah. Larry was learning how to
use the spirit, yeah.
Yeah, communicate with his passenger. Anyway, but they find ways to sort of bring it back in, so they're all just still this group of lovable losers. But yeah, really good, really good. You should start watching.
I will watch these three episodes by the mini show, definitely. Cool. So we'll talk about them on the mini show, because this show caught me off guard, because DC is always like useless to me. I'm not entertained by these DC movies,
I think they do a really great job with their TV shows, like their miniseries.
The Titans show was pretty garbage.
I didn't watch that one.
That one's pretty garbage.
But like Harley Quinn, the animated series,
that was
like,
great. Really I cannot wait for them to do another season. Yeah. I think they're going to.
John, big fan of Arrow and Smallville.
Oh God, I actually didn't watch too much of Smallville, and I've never watched any of Arrow.
You're just saying that.
Arrow was fine for the first three seasons, and then it became like campy, episodic formula. Garbage.
Arrow was never good. No, it was always.
I enjoyed it the first couple of seasons.
I'll say this about the Flash, though. Like, I haven't watched the show. He was one of the only tolerable things about Justice League.
Yeah,
like he was fun in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was like, yeah.
And I include the garbage Snyder cut in that statement.
Ugh. But Doom Patrol,
really good.
I love so the show. Good. The show is so good. I give me 20 more seasons. Let's go. Like,
yeah, keep them going.
It's so good.
We have some games coming out in October. Let's knock them out real quick. We've been going for a while, so let's polish this off.
Yeah, I've been up since 5 a.m.
Gross. That's still nighttime.
Yeah.
Monkey Ball Banana Blitz coming out on October the 10th. Anybody in for Monkey Ball?
Nope.
Trailer shows Sanic.
It does show Sanic.
Very cool. You would expect him to be in a Monkey Ball game.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it's a Sega game, so, you know, they're
going to... anything with Sanic is typically... the better Sanic. Yeah. Whatever they can put Sanic in something outside of his own games, it's better for him.
You know, why does he wear low tops? You'd think that he would wear something a little bit more...
with the ankle support, sure.
Yeah, a little bit more appropriate for running, but I digress.
No, runners have high tops?
What's up?
Runners have low tops.
He wears more like Converse sneakers, like with the flat soles. He's not wearing what would appear to be traditional
shoes. You need something a little support.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, it's a way of intentionally slowing himself down. Like, maybe he's too fast.
Like, pointing weights on his ankles.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Maybe they weigh as much as he does. So that's, like, his center of gravity.
Maybe he's like the Sorceress in Diablo 2 and just accidentally keeps teleporting into enemies.
Maybe.
Can happen. Gotta be careful.
The Light Brigade is coming out on the 7th of October. There's a demo out for this one. I played through the demo. It's kind of like this... off-brand Captain Toad. I was interested in this one because of the sort of art style and like the kind of like adventure collectathon look of the game.
It's very colorful, yeah. Mm. It does look pretty.
I don't think it demoed very well. I'm not sure if I'm going to end up getting this one after I've played the demo, because it's you lose progress is the biggest thing when you're playing through like these bigger levels. And there's a lot of different like collectible things you can find, and it's not really super puzzle based. It's more of just traversal, almost walking simulator type of stuff. And if you fall off an edge too much, like the jumping isn't super precise. If you fall off edges too much or you run out of health, you get sent all the way back to the beginning. You have to do everything you did over again. There's no real checkpoint system, so I don't know. I'm not super sure about this one. One that I am super sure about, though, is Metroid Dread.
Yeah, it looks pretty sweet. It's only like a week away. Mm-hmm. It's going to be out real soon.
October 8th. I'm in. I'm 100% in. You guys?
I will borrow your copy.
I'm going to get it, yes.
When you're done.
But the thing is that like a week later another game comes out, so I don't know how much time I'm going to clock playing it.
What's the other game?
Disco Elysium.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm so pumped for Disco Elysium. I've been wanting to play this game for a while. So very excited. Very excited.
Yeah, very cool. That one's coming out back-to-back with Metro. That's a 1-2 punch.
Yep. Thankfully, very tonally, stylistically different games, too. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I'm, you know, double-dipping on the same kind of format of a game.
Right, right. Because Disco Elysium is funny because it's usually described as an RPG, but there's no, like, sort of battle system. Like, the way I see it, it looks more like an adventure game with a skill tree.
Yeah.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It seems like there's just a lot that's built up in the narrative decisions that you make and how your character changes because of those decisions mm-hmm. As you're trying to unravel a, you know, detective-style story. So
yeah, because some of like that narrative stuff you're talking about is passive. It just depends on the type of responses you're giving and who you're interacting with, that kind of thing. Yep. You're not like having... They're not everything is just based on like a yes-no decision that you are about to make. It's more like your action and interaction based. Mm-hmm. Dying Light Platinum Edition is out on the 19th. Wes, do you know anything about Dying Light?
No.
It's a shooty-shoot game. I thought
maybe that trailer was not... It made it... A game like Dying Light, just from looking at stuff about it, it looks like it should be a horror game. Mm-hmm. That trailer made it seem more like this wild-ass action game.
Yeah.
So I really don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those games where there's actual like consequences to your stuff, and you actually do kind of shape the story to a degree, I think. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. I don't really know. Why am I the token shooty-shooty guy with this group? I
don't know. I just thought this kind of game you like.
I was playing one. I played Prey recently.
Oh, that's right.
I fucking love that game. My God, that was amazing.
Yeah, you talked about that one on the mini show, which we recovered.
Bam.
It's back. It's
Did you post it yet?
Oh, yeah. It posted... yesterday at time of recording. Okay. So,
Wes, have you heard of Prey?
Yeah, I actually do have it. I need to get around to playing it.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It is.
But I think I have it on my PC and I can't run that.
Oh. It's intentionally very breakable. Like, within the game's mechanics, it's designed to just get you to places you really shouldn't be way too fast. Mm. You know, just if you're clever enough and you use all the tools they give you. Prey is all. It's a blast.
I'm probably going to pick it up on my PlayStation at some point. It's on my list.
Yeah, I don't think it needs... It's not the type of shooter that needs to be, like, mouse, keyboard, first person.
You could pick it up on your Switch.
Is it going to Switch?
De-rezzed.
Yeah, Dying Light.
Oh, no, I was talking about Prey.
Oh, that's right, yes.
But Dying Light, yeah. Again, I can't quite tell what this is supposed to be. They made it seem like an action comedy game. And I thought this was supposed to be a horror game. Dying Light, I expect zombies and shit. It looked like those were zombies, right?
Right, like, and you don't want to be out at night. Like, you, like...
Why are we yucking it up when they're going to eat my insides?
Serious things are happening here.
Right?
Why are we yucking it up while they're going to eat my insides? All right.
The Caligula Effect 2 is out on the 19th. I mentioned that one because it's an RPG and I'm a sucker.
I hope you like your J-pop.
No, I'm not buying this game. Even if I were interested, I would never be able to get around to it. There's too many games.
The name was...
What's up? Speaking of... No, never mind.
You sure?
Never mind. Yeah, I'm sure. It's fine.
Get it in there.
Nope.
Okay.
Again, why are they calling this Caligula? Like, again, it's got nothing to do with Caligula. Mm. He had like, blood orgies and shit. Like,
right.
What the fuck? This has nothing to do with that. This is like seems like timing combo battles with J-pop. Yeah, right there, Sherlock.
You okay, buddy?
You gonna die?
He's okay.
He's like, oh, I've read of Caligula.
He's our scholarly member.
Yeah. So I don't know why they chose that name, but whatever. Game looks ridiculous.
Yep. Voice of Cards. That's on the 28th. There's a demo.
You were kind of excited about this one.
I was, and then I played the demo.
No, you're not.
No, I mean, it's still something that I might get around to at some point, like if it hits a sale, but like with Shin Megami Tensei and Pokemon both coming out like weeks after this, I don't know if I'm going to indulge in another RPG before those two come out. I lost interest in it, not completely, but I lost some interest in it because it is, of course, pitched as a card game. Everything is cards. The visual style is cards. All the characters are in cards. You're moving around this board as if you are like moving around in a card game. The battles, like everything you're selecting is you're selecting cards. But the most interesting thing to me about card games is like actually like building out the deck and having to make decisions. Like, okay, I'm going to play this card and I'm going to play this card, and like, and those decisions are impactful because if you play it, it's gone and you might not see it again for a little while.
I thought it was card backs were the most exciting thing about card games. And loot boxes.
With like the foil and the hologram.
Yeah.
I haven't played Hearthstone in months. And I've reached a point where I don't know if I'll ever get back to it.
Yeah.
Okay, then we have to talk about it.
Just saying. That's the only card game I used to play.
So everything about this game is card-based except for like the battle system. Like, it's pretty much just a rudimentary RPG. Here's your characters. Here's the actions they can take in battle. And the fact that they're cards is meaningless because when your next turn rolls around, it's not like you've played a card. You've just like selected an attack, and the attack is just depicted by a card.
Oh, all right.
So, I mean, and like all the actions, like you have your sort of monk healer character who is attacking with like light-based magic. You have your warrior character who's like big and tanky, and you have your mage character who's attacking with like more like anima magic. Here's like your wind spell, your fire spell, your ice spell. And like there are like elemental weaknesses that you can exploit in order to do well in a fight. And there's a sort of mana pool that you can either build up or deplete from depending on the actions that you are taking. But it's pretty much just a straightforward, rudimentary JRPG with this card aesthetic all over the place, but doesn't actually use any sort of deck building or card-based battle system. And there's nothing wrong with a rudimentary JRPG. It's fine. We'll get some dungeon crawling in there. It's okay. But it's just weird that, like, here's this game that's entirely based on cards. Don't worry about doing any sort of card battling in this card game because it's just a turn-taking fight. Don't worry about it. I don't know. It seems like swing and a miss. If you were going to put a card-based battle system in any game, it would be the game that entirely revolves around cards. But no.
Back to Caligula effect.
Yes.
Now that you're mentioning things that don't make sense, they advertised as a feature auto-battling.
Huh.
Isn't that great? Not playing a game?
There are times in JRPGs, like Bravely Default did this back on the 3DS, where you could set your fights to auto, and basically it would just execute the turn the same way that the previous turn played out. And it was a way that you could grind out levels. Now, in a poorly designed RPG, you could just do that and then grind up enough levels in order to just overcome the next obstacle. But in a well-designed RPG, you could do that if you wanted to, like, build up skill points to fill out a skill tree or max out a job level, which is what Bravely Default does. And doesn't necessarily mean you're a shoo-in to win the next battle, the next boss fight. You still have to use some sort of strategy in order to overcome a boss fight. But, to your point, yeah, if you can just set a game to auto-battle and just grind up a ton of levels and breeze through the rest of the game, like, yeah, it kind of defeated the point, didn't it?
Yeah, but in the grand scope of Caligula Effect, maybe you're doing the same thing to, like, get more notes to sing your songs with?
Maybe.
That's my theory.
Wes, for your blood orgies, yeah.
Yeah.
Wes, sing more songs during your blood orgies.
Mm-hmm. This is the one that you're going to have to play, I think.
I got to play the Caligula Effect?
Yep. That's your assignment for the month?
Do you remember when you lost that Pokemon thing and you had to watch that episode of The Simpsons? Did you watch it?
Yeah.
You can't change
the button.
I was going to say, if it's been that long and you haven't.
No, I watched it. I watched it that night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was a good episode. I like the golf going through the hallucinations.
It's like 5 years old.
Like the golf shop that he climbed a pyramid and the golf shop was a golf shop at the top of a pyramid.
You're like, what the fuck is this? It's like, hey, the dog. It's like, this dog over there was the talking fox. And he's like, find your soulmate, Homer. He's like, what was that? And he's like, woof.
Go on. And you also are serving your other punishment because you had to buy Skyward Sword.
But I haven't played it yet.
How is that a punishment? I think it's fun.
I know, right?
I haven't played it yet. I got
You should. Then we'll have a roundtable discussion.
It's still in the foil, and I bought it over a month ago.
And you have the Joy-Con, too.
Hold the phone here. Don't you have a PlayStation now?
I have a PlayStation 4, yes.
But to punish you, you should have to play Caligula Effect 2 out now on PS4.
I don't want to play it on PS4. I'm going to play it on Switch.
No, I think this is furthering the punishment.
Why are you playing it at all?
I'm not going to play it at all.
He is, though. Look at him. He's pumped.
If this game is cheap, it should be a punishment.
I think I want to play the first one, just so I don't lose track of the story. Mario Party Superstars on the 29th. You can get a remake of some classic Mario Party boards. I'm good. You guys good?
I'm good.
Okay.
I don't own it in the first place, so...
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I already have the other Mario Party, so if we want to play Mario Party, we can do that one.
The game is infuriating. It's like digital Monopoly. You know, where everyone just... No one's ever happy that it's happening. It's just sort of like... Everyone just gets mad at each other.
Right, and like you always like pick... Like, okay, we're going to play for like 20 turns. That seems like... That doesn't seem like too many. But then like 2 hours later, like, why do we pick 20 turns? Why is this happening?
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're sitting there winning all the time, and you're a mile ahead, and then they do the little...
Redistribute
at the very end of the game after it's all completed and you end up losing. You're like, well, this is a complete bullshit. Like,
And then finally, on October the 31st, Fatal Frame.
Really excited about this one.
Maiden of Blackwater. Oh, yes.
This looks wonderful.
I like this game.
This is the kind of spooky game we should have and not Dying Light.
Mm. I like this game a lot. I played it on Wii U. Unfortunately, it is not coming out physically in North America. But you know where it is coming out physically?
Mars.
In Japan.
Oh, that was close.
And Asia. And it is going to be fully subtitled in English.
So we can get our Japanese version.
I'm thinking about importing.
Okay.
I'm seriously considering importing this
game. I'll go halvesies if you want to split shipping.
Yeah?
And buy an extra copy.
Okay. Where do you
order this from?
Amazon.jp.
Yeah. Amazon, or like there's like specialty import places. Like Play Asia has one that's been around for a long time to import games from overseas, specifically Asia. And yeah, because I'd really like to have access to a physical version of this game, because the only way I can play it right now is digitally on my Wii U, which is still hooked up. But I put away the gamepad because Ripley was getting very reckless with it. And that thing's not replaceable.
Yeah.
But Fatal Frame is like a really...
You send that back to Nintendo to repair it, and they just give you back like 2 DSs they taped together.
Yeah, you'll have more fun with this. You probably will. But yeah, Fatal Frame, it's a good thing the game is like chapter-based, because like it's such a physically draining experience. Like going through like these really creepy environments, and it's very tense. And you get into these encounters with ghosts, and the only way to defend yourself is by taking pictures of them. It's a really, really cool game. I really dig it. But that's it. Those are all the games that are coming out ever. There's no games after that.
No, that's the end of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next up is going to be a Pokemon show.
Ooh.
I don't know what we should do. What do you guys feel like doing?
I got 3 run-throughs of Pokemon I could talk about.
Shit.
I got my regular run-through, which... And then I had my grass-only run-through. I got my ghost-only run-through. I tried to do a steel-type-only Nuzlocke run-through. That didn't go well.
Was it a Nuzlocke or a hardcore Nuzlocke?
I was trying to do steel-type-only Nuzlocke.
It doesn't show penetration.
Mm.
Yeah. Not hardcore one. Because I've never done Nuzlocks.
I have an idea.
This ghost run was going to be a Nuzlocke, and then I lost completely the hop. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to keep playing now.
I don't want to wipe. I don't want to give up. And, you know, I've done that before, doing a Nuzlocke, too. Like, I started like, okay, I'm going to Nuzlocke this, and I really like my team. And then a couple of them die. Like, I'm not going to Nuzlocke. I just want to play
your fun. I'm just going to play. Like, it literally was. We should save this for the poke show. It's fine.
I do want to mention, like, a hardcore Nuzlocke is a little bit different, because... That you have to play by a few different rules. Like, you have to play on set mode in battles. You can't just swap.
What is
set
mode?
You can't over-level.
You can't over-level past, like, the gym leader's ace.
Set mode, like, when they say... When you defeat a Pokemon on someone's team, they're like, they're about to send in blank. Do you want to change your Pokemon?
Oh, you can't.
You can't.
I've been watching a lot of those on YouTube. This one guy just does, like, different types, hardcore Nuzlocke.
Which one? Plug him.
I can't remember his name off my head.
Okay.
I'll see if I can find it real quick. But
there are a couple of like Flygon is one that he does some really good ones. Sylph Scope or Sylph Spectre is another one that I think is really good. Who does hardcore Nuzlocks?
There's a guy called Pokemon Challenges.
I haven't watched any of those.
He declares himself the best damn Nuzlocke. He reviews other people's. He does his own, but he reviews other people doing them and sort of just showcases their mistakes and how they could have done the thing that they were doing better.
Okay. I shouldn't be as repulsed by someone who says he's the best since we open up every podcast by saying we're the best.
I think we're the only ones, too. This is kind of a cottage industry we have, right?
Right. No one else has ever thought to do a podcast focused on Nintendo games.
Yeah.
I don't know why no one's picked up on it yet.
I think it's just us and Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
We're the only ones out there doing it right now, which is pretty cool. It's like our thing, man.
Yeah, this Andrew Collette show.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
I was watching
that guy.
I was flipping through a few of them.
I'm not gonna talk shit. He's probably a nice dude, but I think his videos skew a bit younger.
Yeah, they do. I've been flipping through a few of them, but that was the one I've been watching a few. Keegan J, I watched his Grass Only.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Which is also, I think it's skewed more for children as well.
Again, this guy Pokemon Challenges is more for older people.
Mm.
I don't feel like that he's not really gearing himself. I think it's not even that his set is older people, it's potheads. I think that is very much, I don't know, nice. You just saw this guy in action. He is really funny, but he's super fucking smart. Like, it's surprising how he's constantly just pulling out information about this game that you didn't realize. He's kind of like got all the inside dirt on how to do Nuzlocks. I don't know. I like him.
There are a couple of ones that are really smart in how they're like, manipulating like the AI, especially when Pokemon starts to get better AI and later generations or like anything like Gen 3 or later, it becomes more predictable. Like, okay, they're going to use a move that's definitely going to be super effective or do the most amount of damage. So I'm going to draw out a move by sending in this one and then swapping to a different one. And I really like when they have to get really creative with the sort of held items they have to use. Like, I know that they're going to use a fire type move, I'm weak to it, I'm going to have him hold this berry that's going to mitigate the damage done.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I had an idea, though, to get back to that.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's good content. If you want to talk about the games that you have, I think that'll be half the show, honestly. The other half?
Yeah, I mean, I'm liking doing these. I'm enjoying doing these type-only runs because I'm using guys I don't typically use. I think next I'm going to do a bug-only run, which is going to be a lot of fun.
How dare you?
Well, we don't have to play them, but what if, because it is the month of October, what if we did our own Halloween or spooky teams?
Oh, I have one ready. I have one right now.
But
yes,
I would say one rule just to keep it fresh, you can't repeat types. You can't just pick six ghosts. Like, obviously, right, there's going to be six good ghosts, but we can't repeat types.
So we need to make a... Do we need to actually make it, or just...
Put as much thought and effort into it as you want. Make movesets, make held items, give them nicknames.
Mine's already made. I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, yep. he did that a while ago for one of his fights against Emily.
Yep.
Oh. Well, then maybe you should...
Get me Evolve and Gore guys for him.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could do that, or jettison the whole team and come up with a brand new one.
Mm.
Make it the sequel. Like, there's Friday the 13th, and there's Friday the 13th Part 2, which, by the way, Friday the 13th, the villain is actually Jason's mother.
Yes.
In the second one, it's Jason himself. And he doesn't have the hockey mask yet. He picks up the hockey mask in the third one.
Mm. And then Jason goes to hell. They kill him. They have like this ruse in order to draw him out at Camp Crystal Lake. Like the FBI is there, or some sort of SWAT team is waiting there to just gun him down. But it turns out that Jason is some sort of like non-physical entity. So he then just ends up possessing somebody else and becoming Jason again. And Dez only made it about 20 minutes into this movie. It is absolute trash. He doesn't actually go to hell. Like,
really? I didn't want to force
it. Maybe he does, like, after those 20 minutes. But he just ends up possessing another body on Earth.
Oh. I didn't want to force it when you're talking about Doom Patrol earlier. Talking about power creep.
Mm.
And if there was ever any character in media that had power creep, it was Jason Voorhees.
Mm.
He's kind of inept and a goober in the second one, but like as it goes on, he basically becomes superhuman and vulnerable, with super strength, has all of these incredible psychic abilities and super speed, and just like he can do everything. Like it's insane what they've done with this character.
Does he go to space?
Yeah. There's one in space. He does a crossover with Freddy.
Yep. And he kind of like turns special into like the sort of a hero or anti-hero of that one, where they need to use him in order to kill Freddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not saying this because I'm going to watch any more of these Friday the 13th movies. I've capped out at two. You know, they're not great. Mm-hmm. And apparently the third one, this is the fun bit and why I decided I'm not watching the third one, is that they threw away the entire script because the woman from the second one that was like the one surviving person refused to be in the
third. Oh, no.
She refused to be in the movie at all. So they're just like, okay, we're making up a new movie. So, and I guess, what were we saying about Remo? Let's make a Halloween team.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm totally down.
Okay.
Are you talking about using current Pokemon, or are you talking about making up new Pokemon, like we've done the Florida team and stuff?
No, current Pokemon.
Existing Pokemon within the world of Pokemon.
Okay.
Well, you can use your Nexium. Isn't it a
Nexomon?
Nexomon.
Oh, dude, Pokemon. Oh,
that would be so funny.
Terrible. Ugh.
But then we'll have a mini show. That'll be fun. The retro show is going to be a really good one again. What a month, you guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Absolutely.
Fuck you.
We're going to have Majora's Mask. We're going to have Pokemon Gen 2. Ogre Battle 64 was in October.
That game is a dream.
Of 2000. Fucking
Blair Witch Book of Shadows.
Blair Witch Book of Shadows.
Meet the Parents.
Oh, God. There was a really good movie, though.
Meet the Parents came out? Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, it was one of the biggest movies
of the year. $300 million.
Yeah, it was fucking huge.
Wilson's in that, too.
Versus 2000 came out, which is a obscure Asian horror comedy, which is very good, as I remember watching it 15 years ago.
Oh, Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, Blood the Last Vampire, the anime, came out. Bedazzled.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Thousands
came out. Movies.
And like the list of music, we're going to have a lot of like really interesting music to talk about.
We're going to split this one up in two different.
Yeah, we might.
Well, it's not that many. I mean, last time we did fucking like 40 albums. We're not going to do 40 albums. I've got like 15. But like, I tried to break them down, and I've got like 7 that I just put in the hits. Mm-hmm. What about hits? Like, what a month for fucking movies. We'll get into it, but wow.
Man. What a time it was.
What a time to be alive.
Yes, indeed. And the World Series. We're not going to talk about that. The Yankees won. That's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So long.
Bye-bye.